Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. While celebrating Mass for the Jubilee of Families yesterday, Pope Leo XIV laid the hammer down to the secularist culture by declaring definitively, as the Church has always declared for 2,000 years, marriage is not an ideal, but the measure of true love between a man and a woman. And to build on the Holy Father's words here, it is because the covenantal sacramental structure of marriage between one man, one woman, to be permanent, faithful, lifelong, and indissoluble, is designed by God. God is the author of marriage, and therefore he is the finisher of the end of marriage, which is heaven. Pope Leo XIV would go on to declare that families are the cradle of the future of humanity. We're going to discuss these comments with Doug Keck, who joins us. He's our friend of EWTN, president and COO. And as we talk about this, I think it's really important that we also present to all of your listeners this core understanding that the secularist culture, progressivist narratives, would love for the notion of marriage to be considered a lofty ideal that's unattainable, and that the biblical plan for marriage is something that is a relic of a bygone era, when in reality, this is not only the divine plan, but because it is the divine plan, it is the pathway to human flourishing. And I mean this in no uncertain terms. Flourishing in the family results in flourishing in a society, which results in a flourishing civilization. And so we'll touch on all of this with Doug. We go on from there to talk with Shannon Salter. Her father recently died following a battle with cancer. Shannon and her family are consummate evangelists, people whose hearts are given for the Lord. And this is an interview that will move you, but also help all of us realize that these theological truths that we study and that we dive deeper into are able to be overflowed into acts of love that bring about true salvation for the souls in our encounter, in our care. And so Shannon will share how the suffering of her sister and her father have brought numerous souls to God. All this after the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Monday, June 2nd. It's the Feast of St. Erasmus. Today's news brought to you by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. Pope Leo XIV says that marriage is not an ideal, but the measure of true love between a man and a woman, and that families are the cradle of the future of humanity. He made the comments yesterday during a Mass celebrated for the Jubilee of Families, children, grandparents, and the elderly. The Holy Father making an extended tour of the square in the Popemobile before Mass, blessing children and greeting the crowds of families who have traveled to Rome for this major event of the 2025 Jubilee Year of Hope. The suspect in the fire attack against people marching in support of Israeli hostages in Colorado is potentially facing murder charges. Ed Victor, a man who has taken part in the weekly march since last September, witnessed the attack.
We were lining up as we normally do, and I'm sure I walked right past the person with the Molotov cocktails. I lined up. I was standing. I remember looking west towards the mountains, talking with somebody. Suddenly, I felt a lot of heat. I turned, and I saw a person on fire.
Eight people were injured when the 45-year-old Egyptian national Mohammed Solomon used a makeshift flamethrower on the crowd and reportedly shouted "Free Palestine" during the incident. FBI Director Kash Patel called it a targeted terror attack, while Homeland Security said the suspect is an illegal immigrant. 11 people are injured after a stabbing attack at a men's homeless shelter in Salem, Oregon. A man was arrested at the scene, and police said those stabbed had varying types of injuries. A top administration official says President Trump and Chinese President Xi are expected to talk about trade policy as soon as this week. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent telling CBS's Face the Nation that he expects the two leaders to iron out key differences in a phone call. Previously, Bessent said trade talks with China appeared to be a bit stalled. From your AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. While celebrating Mass for the Jubilee of Families yesterday, Pope Leo XIV declared, "Marriage is not an ideal, but the measure of true love between a man and a woman." He also said, "Families are the cradle of the future of humanity." Doug Keck, a friend of EWTN, joins us. Doug, it's great to speak with you again. How are you?
It's great to be on with you, as always, Marcus. Thanks.
I'd love it when the Holy Father says things that, on the one hand, are so commonsensical because they're grounded in what the Church has always taught, but on the other hand, are so controversially polemical because the culture just finds disdain in hearing it.
Absolutely, and I think in some ways it's a commentary on where we are even in the Church that some of these statements that seem so matter-of-fact get a little more play because over the last number of years, sometimes the statements we got coming out of Roma times were a little more muddled. They could seem to have clarity, then they got a clarification or it said something else, and then it was clarification. And so I think it's great that our new Holy Father, the 14th, feels it's important, I think, to at least go out and get some clarity on these issues to make sure people understand there are non-negotiables. Yes, there are things around the periphery and around the edges and the way we interact with different people in different situations. Certainly, mercy can take different forms, but at the end of the day, it doesn't change the eternal truth.
Yep. And therefore, if I may echo Holy Father Pope Leo XIV, marriage is not an ideal, the measure of true love between a man and a woman. And then he goes on to quote Paul VI, a love that is total, faithful, and fruitful. It's directly appealing to Humanae Vitae here. And so we can see a decided clarity that the world desperately needs to hear from the Church about the intended end of God for marriage and the family.
Absolutely, and I think that's the point, is that it's always been this way. This has always been the teaching of the Church forever. As you were indicating, a mix of progressives inside and outside the Church have spun different things at different times that were said. And sometimes things that were legitimately confusing are ones that would at least make people think, well, why couldn't you say it a little clearer? I always remember a line somebody quoted to me that said, truth is found in brevity.
Yeah.
When things take too long to explain, it's usually because somebody is not being as clear or upfront with you on the facts as they may be. We need to speak the truth in love, so we can't be that direct. But, yeah, I think it's important that we understand that society's basis has always been the nuclear family. That became a bad word because there's always other situations. And again, what we're talking about is, it's like the rules that our Lord gives us. Those are optimal, of course, but he can deal with what he wants to deal with. And certainly people are in different situations and sometimes they're doing the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have to say, based on studies and based on the historicity of the Church, we know what the best situation is.
Right.
We understand what God's plan for marriage, God's plan for humanity is, even if we fall short of it. And the thing you pointed out before, which he mentioned, the idea, there seemed to be for a long time, even in society and in the Church, that, we have these ideals. If I did this or I did that, that's really a goal for me to achieve, but it's really not that practical.
Right.
So the fact that I fall short of it, it's not really a problem. God really kind of understands that, rather than saying, no, you have to strive for this, and yes, these things do happen, but you need to understand that's not okay. Your job is to confess that and at least continue to make an attempt to strive to be better and to eliminate that, not rationalize that into a reason why you don't have to try so hard, because the more you do that, as Saint Teresa of Avila said, it's the venial sins that set you up for the big ones.
Right.
As you start to accept the venial sins, it weakens your will, it weakens your constitution, and it makes it much easier to get enveloped in the larger sins.
And that's why the Holy Father, before making that statement about marriage not an ideal, he quotes, he mentions a few exemplary married couples, Louis and Zelie Martin, Luigi and Maria Quattrochi. And in all of this, he's basically saying, look, this is doable. And so I look to, for example, you, Doug, you and your bride, and you've been a husband and father, but also an evangelist, and you know that the ideal of the Scriptures is not only strivable, it's livable and enjoyable.
Right. That being said, we always have to make sure that, and I think it's important in the lives of the saints, is that, you know, everything isn't, we're not, you know, this idea of Jesus is my Lord and Savior, now life is wonderful. We all know that, that you know, in a sense, we're all refined by fire. Well, right. That can be the same situation in any relationship, let alone with your children or your spouse. And it's the thing of not giving up, of continuing to try, even when things at different times are difficult, whether it's illnesses in families or, you know, separations that happen or other things that occur in situations that impact relationships, that we have to hold on to our faith and make sure that at the end of the day we know God is with us on this, so that we don't throw it out, throw out the baby with the bathwater, and we don't follow the world's thing that, gee, because you're in pain or because things aren't perfect right now, that means you need to run away, you need to get out. That's the world's idea, and that's not what God says. God says, no, you have to love people even when they're unlovable at times. And you have to realize that in all relationships you have ups and downs, and you do have these situations of a honeymoon period that, you know, goes away, and then the, you know, the little annoyances, all those things occur in everybody's life. But if you stick to it and you keep praying, you can try and work yourself through all of those things and realize that at times there are going to be those tough times in any situation. And one thing that jumped out at me, and it's kind of off topic, but I struck where the Holy Father talked about Christ prays that we may all be one. And I think one of the great lessons with that, and hopefully the Holy Father is stressing that, is the idea we want to be one with the truth, not being one for the sake of being one. Okay, you know, that's an important thing we need to think about. And the same thing with the idea, as I remember Cardinal George said one time, he said, collegiality doesn't mean that all of the bishops get along and enjoy each other. What it means is that everybody teaches the same thing.
Right.
And I think that's really what the Holy Father is trying to get from a unity perspective.
Yep. And that continuity and unity of doctrine in a world that's virtually jettisoned for the formal definition of marriage is needed now more than ever.
No, absolutely. I mean, we all know from Our Lady what she said at Fatima, which was, what would be the final attack? The final attack would be on the family. And that's what we're seeing.
Yep.
We've seen the attack on the priesthood, certainly over the last 50 to 70 years, especially, and the other attack is on the family itself. And attacking the family attacks the priesthood, because the priesthood is nurtured in the family. If you don't have young people who are coming out of faith-filled families, loving families, then you're not going to have those people looking towards, you know, becoming a priest. Mm-hmm. And likewise, if families are falling apart, then society falls apart, because they're, you know, the church is a community as well.
Yep. And that community is built upon, like you mentioned rightly, this foundational block of marriage and the family, which builds into society, which builds into nation and civilization.
Exactly. And that's what we have to hold on to, and that's what's under attack. And that's why you see in different places that revitalization. You see some younger people who maybe have gone the route because their families didn't hold together because of all the tensions. And a lot of times people were sold a bill of goods. They were told,
yes,
you know, that, you know, you need to self-actualize. And if you're being held back from being all you can be, this is what's really important. What's really important is your career and how many toys you have, etc. And unfortunately, many times people find out too late that that isn't. It is empty. They've been sold a bill of goods. But the wreckage is there. But hopefully from the ashes, you know, new things can grow.
Yep. And so we continue to pray. We continue to hope. I'm very heartened by Pope Leo XIV's words, and always a joy to connect with you, Doug. Thank you for making the time.
Thank you, as always.
My guest, Doug Keck, President and COO of EWTN, and we've been talking about the Holy Father's recent words that on the one hand are so commonsensical, but on the other hand, the world needs to hear more than ever. Marriage is not an ideal. This is the foundational plan for man and woman in society. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Remember to take a minute this week to thank a priest you know for all the blessings he shares through his vocation. Our priests work tirelessly to bring us the sacraments and help us on our journey to heaven. Let's encourage them and express our gratitude for all of their sacrifices, like thank you for baptizing our children. Nominate your priest at thankyouforyourpriesthood.com, a new contest every month through September 2025, brought to you by Diocesan, your Catholic advertising and communications company.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Benito. Some time ago, I was blessed to have spoken at a particular event, Young Catholic Professionals of Detroit, and the talk itself took place at Auburn Hills, and I, by the grace of God, got to meet this wondrous young woman named Shannon Salter, and she's from Dearborn, Michigan. The plight of the Salter family is familiar to many of you who have listened to Krista in the afternoon. They're friends of Ave Maria Radio. And many of you might be familiar with the name Megan Salter. Shannon is a witness for Jesus Christ. Her life is a testimony to the sacrificial love of a Christian and Christians in her own life as a result of following Jesus Christ. And so I wanted her to come in to share with us how the powerful revelation and gospel of our Lord and Savior transforms not just an individual's life, but an entire family, a society, a culture, and the world. Shannon, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Thank you, Marcus, for having me. This is a great honor.
Well, the honor is all ours, and I thank you for making the time for these segments. And I want to begin by asking you to share a little bit about your background, and then let's just share the story of Megan and the unique crosses that she has to bear and how that's related to your own expression of the faith.
Thank you, Marcus. Yeah, so I was raised Catholic, always been so close with the Lord and so close to his heart. And really all along my life has been this eternal rescue mission. I want to save as many souls as I can for the Lord. And so he's given me so many opportunities, but those opportunities have arisen through suffering, mm-hmm. through redemptive suffering. When I was 4 years old, my little sister Megan was born. And I'll say before she was born, my mother was in the chapel and she was talking to the Lord and she heard these words in her soul, "Ellen, will you accept a special needs child, a child that no one else wants?"
Mm-hmm.
And that really hit with her. She didn't realize the degree of the suffering that our family would endure through it. And so she immediately dropped everything and said, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want, I will accept a child that no one else wants." And so then she had a perfectly healthy baby, and in about 3 months in, she was bathing Megan, and she started arching her neck back and turning blue. And from then on, her sweet little body started deteriorating, and she stopped breathing on her own. She isn't able to speak. She's 22 years old now, so for 22 years, she's been on life support. She's so joyful and so beautiful, and she's stable now, but her life is this union with the Lord, this union with Jesus and the saints, and she's always singing his praises through her smile and her joy, and it's such a witness. In fact, there's been people who have met her who have become Catholic.
So tell us a little bit from there about the discovery of Megan's very particular struggle and what that has done to your family, or at least mm-hmm. what was the experience of your family then, and what that has done to the faith of your family.
Yes, absolutely. So the suffering that was brought about from Megan's condition and the yeses that our family had to say, primarily my parents, I mean, the rest of us were very small, they were doctors, they were friends of our family that said, look, why don't you pull her off the ventilator? Why don't you stop feeding her? There was legitimately doctors that were suggesting pulling her off life support and letting her go mercifully, which is so devastating. My parents had a very special priest that's very close to our heart, Father John Ricardo. He sort of guided my parents through, you know, what the Catholic faith teaches about the dignity of the human person. And so Megan's organs were working perfectly. And so life was God's gift to Megan. And my dad was going to fight for it. My parents were going to fight for it. In fact, my dad said to this doctor that suggested pulling her off life support, he said, you write on Megan's chart that the Salter family believes in life, and you are never to step foot in this room again. And what a testament to the love of the Father and the protection of God the Father, what he is willing to do to protect the soul of his child. And I feel so honored to have such a wonderful earthly father who fought for Megan's life. I think that there are so many people, even Catholics, that would have said, you know what, no, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to dispose of her life, and maybe we can make up a little lie to make it sound merciful. And no, my dad, my both of my parents, but my dad, he was the strong man of the house, and he said, you know what, no. And from then on, that redemptive suffering, when my parents said yes to Megan's life. My dad gave up a prestigious career because of the amount of time he needed to spend in the hospital with Megan. He gave up large vacations for the family. I mean, there's things that men take as a pride, mm-hmm. as the amount of money that they have, or having a huge house, or having a lake house and a boat. He gave up all of that, and we were essentially pretty poor. They had to pull us out of Catholic school as other children, and it was a suffering. It was a suffering that most people would look at and say, no way. And my parents were so brave. And what I tell you is that was the glue that brought our family together. That made me run to Jesus from a young age. And now I am so close to him. I see God and he will seek you, right? In the book of James. And that's what happened. We are so tremendously close with Jesus because of our redemptive suffering offered back to him. We've said yes to the suffering, and through it has flowed so many saved souls that we don't even fathom until we get to heaven. And I cannot wait for that day, especially to see how many souls Megan is saving. But it first had to flow through my parents' yes to her life. It was like Mary. It wasn't one yes. This was a continuous, every day, every moment, treacherous, burdensome, difficult yes that was completely 100% offered to Jesus to the end, to the nth extent. And when we say yes to what the Lord has for us and his plan for us, the results are unfathomable. We will only know them in heaven. But if we trust and we believe and we love Jesus to the end, John 13:1, we love Jesus to the end, to the extent that he loves us. We will soothe his heart. He searches for souls to love him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't find them. But when he finds that one soul, that loves him with all of their heart. His heart melts with streams of mercy for the world. Yes.
Shannon, I want to ask you, we're running out of time in this segment, but I would be remiss if we also didn't touch on, you were very young when Megan's diagnosis came out. What did that do for your own journey in discovering who you are in God, and making you the woman that you are today?
Thank you. Yes, it was very difficult. I had to go from home to home, cousins, different family members, because my parents would be at the Mayo Clinic with Megan or at the hospital, and they were the best parents they could be for all of us at the same time. But what it did for me is the suffering that was brought upon me from a very young age, it drew me to Jesus and it made me cling to him. And from this day, I pray hours a day and I talk to the Lord, and he talks to me in my soul, and it's so beautiful, and I'm so drawn to him. But it's because of the foundation of my faith based on the suffering, the redemptive suffering, and I wouldn't trade it for the whole world, Marcus.
And it's very clear you've got a deep, profound love of Scripture. We've got about 30 seconds. Share about how your experience of God's love in the Scriptures has helped in your own relationship with Megan and with other people.
Thank you. Yes, in every moment, I'm always thinking what Scripture verse goes along with this moment. And I speak to Megan about this all the time, and she loves it. And I'm sure she has a ton of Scripture memorized. She's so faithful and so loyal to her God. And we'll pray 1, 2, 3 Divine Mercy chaplets in a row. And I'll say, Megan, do you want to pray another one? And her face lights up. I mean, she's just so close with the Lord. And I build her up because of how God sees her. Yes.
My guest is Shannon Salter, and she's sharing with us this profoundly unique story of an entire family's depth of love and growth in Christ Jesus. They're from Dearborn, Michigan, and the story continues, so stay with us. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Father Deacon Lawrence Hendricks.
I was one of the first patients to receive a Sarah crown from Dr. Kennedy. The Sarah technology allows for restorations to be done in one visit. They always use the most advanced techniques in dentistry. I've always enjoyed the friendly staff and the personal relationships that I have at Ann Arbor Smiles.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John talks about marriage. In our culture today, there are many people who think, what's the point of marriage? Most of them end in divorce, so why should I bind myself to someone I can fall out of love with? Join us this week as Father John dives deep into the sacrificial nature of marriage from Ephesians 5, as well as expounding on the forgotten significance of fatherhood. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Was Jesus' risen body the same body he dwelled in while living on earth? According to the Catholic Catechism, it was the same body that was crucified, but it was glorified and different in profound ways from the risen body of Lazarus, which Jesus brought forth from the tomb. Lazarus returned to his same earthly life with the same limitations he had when he left it. Jesus rose with new powers. His body was no longer confined to time and space. He could appear and disappear at will. He could walk through doors. He could also eat and drink, as he did with the apostles, to prove to them that he was not a ghost. He could appear in whatever guise he chose, as he did with Mary Magdalene when she thought he was the gardener. The reality of the resurrection of the body seemed an impossibility to the disciples. They needed the added impetus of God's grace to accept and believe such a reality. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. I'm speaking with Shannon Salter. She and her family come from Dearborn, Michigan. They have been recipients of a very unique story as part of God's plan in salvation history, and she's so generously joining us today to share this story. In the last segment, Shannon shared about her sister Megan and how Megan's suffering has become a kind of participative suffering for the family and how that's transformed their faith. And we're continuing that from here. Shannon, I want to pick up where we left off. You had started touching on your dad as a father, as a man of God, the things that he let go. I just want to ask you to pick up from there. Tell us about your father.
He was incredible. For the listeners who don't know this, my dad recently passed away of pancreatic cancer, and the story is absolutely tremendous. So again, we already touched on Megan, how she's on life support, she isn't able to move or speak, and how my dad was so powerfully protective of her life and her vocation of saving souls for the Lord, and so protective of our faith within the family and praying the rosary and Divine Mercy Chaplet. And so a few years ago, actually, I was working out in the real world, and one day I was praying, and Jesus said, I'm asking you to leave your full-time job and take care of Megan. So at this time, COVID had been going on for about 2 years, and my parents were exhausted. My dad stayed up until 3 a.m. every single day for 2 years, and then he would wake up my mom at 3 a.m. Because Megan needs full-time care. Mm-hmm. And so they were getting exhausted. I was looking at them, and they weren't that old, and they started to look exhausted. Yeah. And have these little health issues here and there. But they made a vow that they would never ask us other children to do this, to drop everything to take care of Megan, because that was their yes. Mm-hmm. We were very little. So they made this vow that they never told us about, but I found out about this. So, yes, I was praying, and the Lord asked me, I'm asking you to leave your full-time job and take care of Megan. Now, I had dreams everywhere in France. I wanted to be on Broadway. I wanted this and this and this. I didn't care, because at that moment, the Lord changed my heart. I said yes. And, Marcus, I'm telling you, the sun shot through my window at the weirdest angle, this golden beam of light, and I said, yes, God, anything for you, anything that you ask, I don't care about anything else. I'll leave it. I'll drop it, and I'm not even going to look back. I said yes, and I remember my dad, he came in, he sat across the room, and he was just seeing, you know, checking in on me, and I said, you're not going to believe what just happened. This morning I prayed, and I said, and Jesus asked me to leave my full-time job and take care of Megan, working night shifts. And Marcus, he started weeping. To see your father weep, especially for a daughter, that's a huge deal. He started weeping, and he said, you have no idea. I was just downstairs praying the rosary with your mom. And he said, I can't do this anymore. He told God, I can't do this anymore. I need help. And it was that very day that the Lord spoke in my soul and asked me, and that was my immediate confirmation that that was the Lord. And so I did, the rest of the story unfolds so beautifully because I left my full time. I started taking care of Megan, doing night shifts. A couple weeks later, Megan was in tremendous pain. We took her in, found out she had pancreatitis, but she couldn't tell us because she can't speak. So she was laying there in pain, and it's so sad to think of. Day one, my dad went into the hospital. We thought Megan was going to die. Day one, my dad went and he stood next to Megan and he said, God, you give this, you take this away from her and you give it to me. After 70 days, Megan was sent home. We thought she was going to die. She ended up living, perfectly healed of her pancreatitis. A few months later, we found out my dad woke up, didn't feel well, went in the hospital. You have pancreatic cancer. Now, Marcus, the pancreas and cancer were two words that were not used in my household.
Mm-hmm.
My dad knew immediately. In fact, he asked the doctors. He said, how long has this been in my system? And it dated right back to Megan's pancreatitis, the very beginning of it. And I'm not saying that God gives cancer,
but he allows
suffering for the redemption of souls. And he knows that my family will turn around any suffering and give it right back to God and say, you do with this what you will. Let it be efficacious for the world, for your soul, for your children, God. God the Father revealed to me through prayer that, like, his utmost desire more than anything else is to have the souls of his children with him in heaven, all of them. And so that has become my family's mission. That's become my mission. My whole life is a rescue mission. And I know that the Lord is not calling me to marriage. He's calling me, my outward vocation is to take care of Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And my inward vocation is to save souls through my suffering,
right,
through joyful suffering. And so that was tremendous. I remember going back to my dad. Day one, I went in the hospital. I did not know what to say to him. But there was this wonderful priest that came in. And I'm just watching my dad and this priest have this conversation that is probably the most influential conversation I've ever heard in my entire life. And it was my dad and this priest going back and forth saying, there's no length I wouldn't go for my child. There's no suffering that I would take upon myself for my child. Hearing the priest say that too about his spiritual children, there's no length I wouldn't go for my child. He is the visible representation of Jesus on this in this world. He was my visible representation of Jesus in that moment, that moment of suffering. And to hear him say, there's no length that I wouldn't go for you. And my dad say, there's no length I wouldn't go for you. Now, Marcus, you don't hear that when you're watching the Lions game from your dad. turn to you, there's no length I wouldn't go for you. That's what he did. He took the suffering of Megan upon himself.
Yeah.
And he willingly did that. Now, if that's how that, if, I don't know, who knows if Jesus was actually the component of this, but what a beautiful story. And so that is a representation of my father, Marcus.
I'm going to preface this by saying this. The call for every baptized man, who, especially those who become husbands and fathers, is to come to such deep love that you willingly lay down your life for those in your care, your bride, your children, and all other souls who are called to be in your stewardship. Your father did that. Your father lived that. What has that witness done for you and the faith of your siblings?
It helps us see what God the Father is like. I hear these stories of really broken families, and I have some friends that are fatherless, and maybe their father is actually there and he's abusive or manipulative. And it's so sad because, especially for young women, your earthly father, I've heard often, is how you see the heavenly father.
Yeah.
So to have such a heroic Catholic to the end, to the nth degree, to every extent Catholic father, it's going to trickle down to your entire family.
Right.
The tone at the top, right? And you look at even St. Therese with St. Louis and St. Zelie. And of course St. Therese is going to be this holy, and of course they're going to have that many Catholic nun children because of the holiness at the top,
right,
the head of the family, the head of the household.
And your father modeled that for the family. And so,
yes.
You're a young woman. There's a particular power in hearing these words come forth from a woman of God, but also a daughter. Do you have a word of exhortation to young men, but also fathers who are listening right now, about how powerful their witness can be to the women and the daughters in their life?
Yeah, be men. Be men. This world, this modern world is very muffled and confused about what a man and a woman is.
Yep.
Hold the door. Stand up for your children. Take them to Mass. For the father to take their child to Mass and to be actively going with them and praying the rosary with them. That, although the child will likely not speak to you saying, "Oh, Dad, this is so wonderful," you're going to see it in the actions of your children. It really flows from the father. The mother is nurturing, but the father, that's the decision maker. That's the strong man in the house. And you have to put your foot down sometimes to say, "You know what? We're saying a family rosary today." You put the video game down, we're saying a family rosary.
My guest is Shannon Salter. She's sharing with us this profound mystery of suffering and union with Christ that she and her family have been undergoing. And the story continues on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Vita.
When women are faced with an unexpected pregnancy, Arbor Woman Health offers free medical-grade pregnancy tests, counseling, and same-day ultrasounds. But they can't protect the sacredness of life without your ongoing support. Join them for their 2025 Flourish Fundraiser Dinner on Friday, June 13th at 5:30 p.m. at St. John's Resort in Plymouth. Visit arborwoman.com to purchase tickets or become a corporate sponsor today.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You can hear Ave Maria Radio from your home computer or your smartphone, where you can access Ave Maria Radio from anywhere in the world, regardless of the time of day. All you need to do is download the Ave Maria Radio app from the App Store, Google Play, or Galaxy Stores. You never have to lose signal. You never have to miss your favorite program ever again. It's what you want and how you want it. And with the Ave Maria Radio archives, it's available when you want it most. The Ave Maria Radio app, heard where radios aren't available.
On the next Epiphany.
Hi, Vanessa Denha-Garmo here. Terry Poplava shares a new study on the religious beliefs and practices of Americans and how we can address the increase they're seeing in loneliness and isolation. Also, author Nathan Blake is back with a new book explaining how sexual liberation hurts us all.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Do you celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life? It's an approach to family spirituality that can help every Catholic family encounter Christ more meaningfully at home and experience their faith as the source of the warmth in their homes. The liturgy of domestic church life has three parts. The rite of Christian relationship helps families love each other with Christ's sacrificial love. The rite of family rituals helps families develop Christian attitudes toward work, play, relationships, and faith. And the rite of reaching out helps families learn to serve each other and the world just like Christ. When you live out the liturgy of domestic church life, you bring the grace of the Eucharist home and let Christ transform everything about the way you live and love each other. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. I'm talking with Shannon Salter. She and her family come from Dearborn, Michigan, and they have a very unique familial participation in Jesus' redemptive work on the cross. And their own lives have been so profoundly transformed by grace, but by virtue of the witness of this family, numerous others have encountered Christ. Shannon, you were telling us earlier about your father, the witness that he set, the power of masculine witness for the gospel in the family. I want to ask you to pick up from there. You mentioned that your dad said this prayer, and we're not saying that God gives cancer, but through some kind of mystical divine intervention, your sister gets healed of this suffering, and your father undertakes a new pancreatic cancerous suffering. And so you watched him journey to the grave in virtue. Tell us what that was like for you.
Absolutely. He never, ever complained. He would say, Jesus, I trust in you, in lieu of complaining, actually. He was starting to be crippled, and he started to not be able to move, and he would just ask our family, do you want to say the Divine Mercy with me? He would stare at the Divine Mercy image all day long. He was just so in love with Jesus, and it was so beautiful to see someone, sorry, I'm getting choked up, just sort of deteriorating, and just offering it to God, and looking forward to the next life. And I remember the morning, we didn't realize he was going to pass away that day. We thought he'd have a couple more months. And my mom came into my room. I was sleeping. She was screaming, Dad's dying. I went down there, put my arm under him, and he died looking at me. And it was so beautiful. A couple days before this, actually, I was praying, and Jesus said to me in my soul, and these words didn't make sense literally at all in the moment, look into my eyes. There you will see your reflection. Well, when he passed away and I put my arm under him, I looked at him. He died looking at me. And I looked into his eyes and I saw my reflection. And I felt that that was just a sign from the Lord that, like, I'm with you. I am guiding your heart through this, and I will be there for you every step of the way. Don't be afraid. That evening, Marcus, it was so profound. I was so, obviously, so devastated. My father had just died. We spent countless hours praying near his body. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me this inspiration to have confessions at the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like a, whoa, this is amazing, but could this really happen? And with my dear aunt helped me, and we set it up. We had two amazing priests each day of the funeral home. I got up in front of everyone, and I didn't just say, oh, confessions down the hallway. I said, my father, I am so confident, stood before the Lord, and we'll all stand before the Lord at the end of our life, we will, and I would lay my life down before denying that. And I said, I'm so confident that he heard the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I talked about how heroic my father was.
And you gave them that exhortation. You presented to them the witness of your father that you knew culminated in some level of doing the will of the Lord, and you have confidence in that. And so as you give this exhortation at the funeral home, everyone who's there, they listen to it. And so the priests are there. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so I continued on, and I just said, at funeral homes, the idea of our own death is very much alive in our hearts, and we really ponder momentum mori, remember your death. We ponder our own death. And that is easily the number one fear that people have. And so I went into the length that God loves you, and how he wants you back. Confession isn't just about making life easier for you. God wants you back. And confession is the way that he gets you back. The way that he has set in motion. That's the way that he chose to get you back. And so I had the priest stand up front. kind of on the side so that people could see how approachable they were. Mm-hmm. They are. And so I remember I just, like, I kind of chose a select few in the audience to look at, and they just said, like, it's time to come home, and I want your death to be beautiful. And whether you can look at Jesus in the eyes at the moment of your death, or whether you are going to, like, fall flat on your face, is going to depend on your life and your choices right now. And I'm giving you this opportunity right now to make things right with God, who loves you to the end, who wants you back. This is not just a preparation for your own death. This is an avenue to love him with all of your heart, and that's where you're going to find the joy. And so I moved in to say, the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit moves into these priests during confession to such a degree where Jesus is in them more than they're in themselves. You're going to hear Father John. You're going to look at Father Jeremy in confession. Mm-hmm. But the words that come out of that priest's mouth and the power that flows through them is from Jesus Christ. And so I left it there. And I said, you know, confessions are down the hall. Marcus, I got talking to people. My aunt came and got me, and she said, Shannon, come look at the hallway. Marcus wrapped around the hallway, and there were two confessionals going. There was young, there was old. There was this beautiful story. I went into the confessional to give Father this little update in between confessions, and I looked down, and I saw on the act of contrition this single teardrop. And I saved that teardrop because it's a teardrop. It's a relic of redemption, a relic of received mercy, a relic of love. And I stood in line with people and I prayed with them. Like, I left the wake and I went and I was praying in line with people. There was this one boy that I know has been depressed for years, and I stood with him and I just said, Jesus told St. Faustina, not only do you open up your sins to the priest in confession, you open up the wounds of your heart and I will heal them in confession. I remember one time praying for my confessor, and Jesus said to me, his mercy is my mercy. And what a testament, what a witness to the power of confession. It's not just the priest, and it's not about the priest, it is about the power of the Lord. And there was one woman that came up to me afterwards. She said, Shannon, I haven't been to confession in 34 years. She said, you're the only one that could get me to go to confession. And I thought, well, I wish it was Jesus, but I'm sure Jesus has accepted this. Of course he is. And so this woman has been going back every single week since, and it's so beautiful. But I keep hearing these stories. In fact, the Archbishop of Detroit heard about it, and he congratulated our pastor, Father Bob. And so I know that priests have different ministries beyond what they vow. So saying mass, of course, saying confessions, etc. But then there's a lot of priests that feel extra called to prison ministry or visiting the homebound or those in the hospital or helping young men discern priesthood. But this is a whole new sacramental ministry, mm-hmm. that is saving souls for the kingdom. And mm-hmm. I can't even wrap my head around how many souls are going to be saved through this ministry. I want it to be widespread throughout the world.
I will say this. Very few things help the secular person, or the average person, I should say, contemplate the reality of their mortality, like witnessing the death of another. And I've no doubt that seeing your father's passing in faith became this powerful encounter with the gospel that cut two hearts. And that explains the tremendous sacramental fruit. I want to ask you to just share a little deeper about some of the stories, encounters that you had with people who went to confession during that wake, and your own experience, your family's experience.
Yes, absolutely. I, to this day, keep hearing stories of people who went to confession, people who heard about this. There's a young priest at our parish in Dearborn that his favorite thing ever is to say confessions, and he was so drawn to this. In fact, he was the one that I first asked first permission, and if this is appropriate at a funeral home. But and so he, I know he for a fact wants to turn this into a whole ministry. And so I had this woman who hadn't been back in 34 years. There was a woman who hadn't been back in 35 years. There was also this young man who I knew was very much in the world type of man. Just I know him. Big. Gave me this big bear hug, and he started sobbing, and he just said, thank you. Thank you. I needed this so badly. I saw people in line crying. I saw people in line that had walkers. I saw little ones. I saw older ones. I saw people who I frequently see in the line for confession at church, people who I didn't even know were Catholic. And when I heard from someone had told me, Shannon, as soon as you finish speaking about confessions and the length God wants to go to get you back, she said, people, like, I just saw people erupt into standing and going into the hallway, into standing in line for confession. And that was just so beautiful. And it just started with this little inspiration.
Yeah. There's this chapter in Fulton Sheen's Your Life is Worth Living where he talks about God being the hound of heaven. And he's borrowing this from a poem, an older poem. And the chapter is called The Divine Invasion. And what you're talking about is more than a chapter in a book, more than a teaching in a homily. This was that divine invasion made manifest. This was God hunting down those souls to draw them back to him.
Yes.
If you could share what that experience has done for your family today, as well as your friendships, the life that you've built, the life that your mother and your siblings have built, based on encountering God's divine invasion that day.
Yes, it brought so much beauty to my father's death because I think a lot of people fear being forgotten.
Yeah.
God never, ever forgets you. You are famous in heaven. You are famous among the cloud of witnesses in heaven, the saints. But his death is bringing more glory to God than some of us can dream. And Jesus has revealed to me through prayer, he wants this grand plan for every single soul, but there are very few who allow it, who allow him to move, because he gives us the choice. And it's so beautiful. There have been people that are going back to Mass after hearing my dad's witness. There are people that are becoming united with the Lord. People that were already Catholic are just clinging to God because of my father's heroic witness and really legacy. And he will not be forgotten because his life is so beautiful. Yes.
Shannon, I want to say thank you. Thank you very much for coming in, for making this time. My guest has been Shannon Salter. She's from Dearborn, Michigan. And she has just spent 3 segments with us sharing this powerful, outstanding witness of her family's yes to Jesus amidst the cross and trials of our fallenness in this world. Stay tuned for the next hour. I'm Marcus Peter.